Okay, good stuff. Okay, plenty to get through this evening. Jane Mangan is on the line because there is a small matter of the Grand National. Jane, Alan mentioned it's like Christmas Eve for himself, looking forward to the Crucible tomorrow. Is it like Christmas Eve for yourself in a way as well, looking forward to the Grand National?
Well, I suppose I don't want to cheapen Christmas Eve because that really is the day before Cheltenham, but the Grand National is special, and I just know that Alan has encapsulated into his Crucible excitement that little bit of Aintree. And even watching it yesterday and today, seeing Davy Russell back riding a Grade 1 winner on Jerry Colum today, Aintree has something special about it, and that is before you even get to the Evergreens, the 4.25 miles, the 40 runners, and the Grand National test itself.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned Davy had a big winner today, I suppose. Talk us through that and your other highlights from today, because it isn't just about the Grand National. There has been 2 days of racing at Aintree, as you alluded to there, Jane.
There has, yeah. Look, 2 7 race cards, and the Irish have had 3 winners on the Thursday, 3 winners today. We mentioned Davy. He was facile and effortless on Jerry Colum, but it was the simplicity of the ride that we will miss when he retires tomorrow. You know, his last ride will be on Galvin in the National. But I was pleased for him, having had such a frustrating Cheltenham. It would have been an unsatisfactory way for him to end his career, doing going out on such a low note. So today was him at his best on a chaser, something that he was hot favourite. There was a bit of pressure involved, and he made it look like he was at home. So that was Jerry Colum today. And of course, Rachel Blackmore and Henry de Bromhead combining for In the Pocket in the colours of JP McManus. The Manila Times combination getting a Grade 1 success with him after he ran so well in the Supreme at Cheltenham. Maybe this wasn't as strong a race, but he had to be gutsy, and that was a very good performance as well. So that kind of carries the momentum into tomorrow. Of course, Rachel and Henry had a winner yesterday over Fences with Dancing on My Own, and they now saddle and ride the anti-post favourite for the Aintree Grand National. Ain't That a Shame has been hammered in the market from opening at around 20 to 1 at Declarations yesterday, now currently 8 to 1 favourite. I suspect it may well be that the horse has a great chance. He's got a lot of the right credentials. But I have a funny feeling that the Blackmore fan club, they're almost like the Swifties in terms of music. They have got behind their woman, and she's now top of the betting.
And I see if she's at like the Swifties, I wouldn't want to annoy any Blackmore fans, Ed, because they're fierce on social media, I tell you that. What has, like, I mean...
What's a Swiftie, Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift.
Sorry, what's sorry, a Swiftie? Sorry, Jane. Alan Cawley, get off the radio.
Come on,
Jane, sorry.
No. And you have kids.
I was thinking there for a second. What? And then obviously I put two and two together.
There's and I'm allowed to say it because I'm a Shelburne fan. There's the Taylor Swift fans. There's League of Ireland fans. And I say there's a couple of other groups. Maybe American Republicans. They're the three people you don't want to annoy.
Well, that's
in social
why
media.
I've never engaged with any of those people. Shit, so maybe that's why I don't know who
you
are.
You've got in plenty of rails with League of Ireland fans. On a serious note, Jane, what is the story? So you mentioned there, I think Ain't That a Shame is evens now to go off as favourite, basically. Like, what has caused this? Well, obviously, the lowering of odds is caused by people sticking a few quid on it, but has it been a case of just because she's won a couple of races now, or it is just devotees of Rachel Blackmore fans?
I think the Aintree Grand National is one of those races where the casual punter, whether they only have one bet a year and that's the only race, or they just tune in for maybe the festivals, they definitely look for her name. But this horse has a great chance. He beat a horse called Max Charm at Goren last time. That horse has subsequently won. He's run a very good race in the Paddy Power, which we know is a good test for this race. And he ran a good race in the Munster National at Limerick. So he has a very good chance, but this is a very good race. Second favourite is currently Delta Work, the horse that beat Galvin, who will also line up for Davy Russell in the cross country at Cheltenham. He was third in the race last year. Huge ride for Keith Donoghue, of course, the man who will be forever remembered as being associated with Tiger Roll. The next is Cork Rambler for Lucinda Russell, who was so desperately denied with Ahoy Senor yesterday. The Irish have a very strong representation in the race this year. They have 26 of the 40 runners. which numerically reads very strong. But when you look at horses like last year's winner, Noble Yates, he's up £19. It's a huge ask. Could he bring back back-to-back races? Well, of course he could. He's still only an 8 year old after running fourth in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Guyer de Menil, fresh from winning the National Hunt Chase at Cheltenham, still a novice, the mount of Paul Townend, who won last week's Irish Grand National, Mr. Incredible for Willie Mullins. Second in the race last year, and he's second now, third to Manila Times 2 years ago. Mark Walsh and Ted Walsh teaming up there. And then you take in horses like Longhouse Poet, who I think has a great chance. He was sixth in the race last year after racing too exuberantly. If he can relax for the man who trained number six Valverde to win the race for Martin Brazel, I think Longhouse Poet has a serious chance as well. So it is one of those major, it is a bit of a lottery, but there are a lot of horses in here with the right credentials to make it happen.
You mentioned Davy Russell there, obviously rode a winner, and it is his last race, and it is his final retirement tomorrow. What are the chances of another fairy tale farewell?
Well, to put it simply, Shane, it's a 22-1 chance currently. Galvin has a lot of weight. He's got 11 stone 11. He was placed in the Gold Cup last year. He's not an old horse, he's still only a 9 year old, but he would prefer if the rain stayed away, and the ground looked quite soft there today. And that combined with a heavy weight and the fact that he's not a tall horse, he's not a robust horse, it might just be a lot of weight for him to carry. So it's a big ask, but I think if Davy Russell could cross the line safe and sound after riding his Grade 1 winner today, it would be a good week. And look, there are so many good stories into this race. You've got Jessica Harrington bidding to win the race for the first time. It's probably the only major race that she's never won. She's conquered the flat world, the jumps world. She's won Gold Cups and Champion Hurdles, but she's never won it, and got lifetime ambition in there. Coco Beach for Harry Cobden, picking up a spare ride for Gordon Elliott. Paul Nicholls, of course, he's retained a trainer, has no runner in the race. And then you go a little bit down the way to Michael O'Sullivan after his breakthrough at Cheltenham, having two winners. He's picked up the ride and carefully selected for Willie Mullins. D All Care for Noel Mead, who's never won the race. Joseph O'Brien's got Durasso and a Wave of the Sea in there for JP McManus, the Shark Hanlon. Would there be a better story if he won it with Cape Gentleman? So there's so many different angles to the race, but realistically at the top 10 maybe in the market, every one of them you could make a strong case for.
I'm back on a Monday with Ruby, so I have to get this out or Ruby wouldn't forgive me. I want to get your thoughts on any second now, Jane, because cancelled, third, second, I mean, if anyone deserves victory for sheer persistence, it must be Ted Walsh and his horse Any Second Now.
Yeah, and you know what? And this isn't because I work with him or I know him. I do think Ted Walsh is a savagely good target trainer, in that he doesn't have numerically the same number of horses as, say, Willie Mullins or Gordon Elliott, but the few that he does have, when he picks a race, he can really prime them for that day. And this horse is case in point. He had Papillon, he had Comanche Court, and he got the best out of those horses. This horse has narrowly missed the target on two occasions. The only problem is history is against him. History tells us that an 11 year old carrying top weight can't win the National unless you're Red Rum. And he's not Red Rum. So his age and his weight are two major factors, but he loves the track and he does come alive when he gets there. And he was very good when he won the Webster Cup last time. He looked like he was as good as ever. So he definitely has an each way chance, but it would be, history tells us he can't win. Records are there to be broken and all that, but there are probably more likelier types.
You mentioned Red Rum. I believe Red Rum is running on the buildings of Liverpool. There's a hologram, apparently. I only briefly saw this on social media, that you can watch, you can re-watch Red Rum's race now on one of the main buildings in Liverpool. Technology scares me.
So Whitney Houston hologram tour, yeah. And Red Rum around Liverpool.
And Tupac, I think Tupac did a tour as well. I can't believe we got Taylor Swift and Tupac into a Grand National preview. But right, listen, when it's all said and done, who are we going with, Jane? Where's the money going?
I'll give you my selection when Alan Colley must follow up. So just to give you a chance, Alan, I'll tell you why I'm going with Longhouse Poet. He was sixth in the race last year as an 8 year old, having raced too exuberantly. I think if they can contain his enthusiasm, he will get home a lot better, and I think this has been his target. So it's Longhouse Poet for me. Okay. What's it for Alan Colley?
I'm going with Jane's as well, funny enough.
No, hold on.
And I'm going with one other, and I'll give you my reasons as well. But funny enough, it's interesting that Jane has picked Longhouse Poe because I fancy that as well. But I wanted to ask Jane as well about a jockey who's in riding now. And obviously we all talk about the Irish jockeys, and obviously for the right reasons. But there's a jockey who's currently racing, and he was brilliant again today, Jane. He's after picking up a spare ride on one of Gordon Elliott's for the National tomorrow. And I think he's the best jockey currently riding at the moment, Harry Cobden.
Harry Cobden, yeah. You didn't even have to say his name. It's amazing that he doesn't have a ride in the race, that his connections in the UK didn't have a horse for him. He, over a fence, is as good as any rider riding. He's only 24 years of age, which is incredible for what he's achieved and the pressure that he's under. I think Cocoa Beach has a huge chance. He took to the fences well last year. The rain will have helped. He's still only an 8-year-old and he's a winner last time. He's something like 33-1. He's one of those horses that if somebody wants something at a very big price and they want to have €2 on each way, he'd be the recommendation at bigger prices.
Well, that's where I'm going. And would you agree, Jane, he is probably the best at the moment. I think he's absolutely fantastic. That ride again today on Pick Dory, as you say, the pressure that he's under. And it looks, we've mentioned this around Cheltenham as well, that slowly but surely Paul Nicholls is getting a team together to maybe put up a bit of competition to Willie and Gordon.
Yeah, he's as good as what's in the UK. I won't go forgetting about Paul Townend and
that's
Rachel
a nice political
answer. I haven't before Townend. I'll say it instead, Jane.
Would you? Yeah,
yeah,
I disagree with that now, because I don't think he's produced maybe the calibre of a Galloping Deschamps or an I Am Maximus ride, but he's a lot younger and he may well do that someday. But he's top class, and I'd imagine when Gordon Elliott realised he was available, he wasn't long about snatching him up.
Well, funny enough, with Gordon Elliott, and it's ironic there you mentioned, I think the closest to Harry, and if he was fit, I think he'd be the best, is Jack.
Jack is ahead of him in my book. But yes. Look, why, I don't know why our chat has got into ranking jockeys.
Why not? Like, listen, we can talk about Taylor Swift, we can talk about Anton. Any rogue, I suppose, is the wrong word, but any outlandish each way shouts. I'm sure a lot of Dublin fans will be on Hill 16 and whatnot. But any each way shouts, Jane?
There probably are a few.
Recite a prayer, Willie Mullins, 66.
No chance. I think Capodanno. I think Capodanno has a nice chance. He was meant to go for the Gold Cup. He missed the Gold Cup for whatever reason. If he takes the fences, he's a great chance. What else is worth mentioning is the Liverpool hurdle tomorrow, because Ireland is very well represented in that. That's the 3 mile, basically the stairs hurdle of Aintree, if it was run at Aintree or instead of Cheltenham. You've got Flooring Porter in there, fourth from Cheltenham, fifth from Cheltenham home by the Lee, the winner from Cheltenham, Sire du Burlet, and then you intriguingly throw the mare in there, Marie's Rock. Do you remember this conversation? Nicky Henderson didn't know whether to go for the mares or for the stairs hurdle, and then he eventually went for the mares and they walked, turned into a sprint, didn't suit her. Now that she's up to 3 miles, it'll be interesting to see if she can beat the boys. But Sire du Burlet, fresh from his win at Cheltenham, I think Flooring Porter will be dangerous. Throw in the likes of a Champ, Dashiell Drasher and Meet and Greet. This is a good race, but I'd like to see the mare full pomp 3 miles if she's good enough to beat the boys.
Okay. I'm going to give my useless information here. We're preparing for the 100-year anniversary of Talca Park as a football stadium next year. And on the 100-year anniversary note, there will be symmetry to success for Cape Gentleman, who will be saddled by the charismatic John Shark Hanlon. The 2020 Irish Caesar Witch winner was bought by American Pierre Manigault, whose great-grandfather, Stephen Sanford, won the Grand National with Sergeant Murphy in 1923, and he wanted a runner to mark the centenary. There you go.
That's the reason.
That's the reason.
It's a good reason, Shane.
Yeah, big odds, Jane.
I think he's possibly the biggest of all the odds. He's definitely 125-1, if not 150-1. But in the case of the Ancient Grand National we've seen, I remember standing there in person when you could hear a pin drop when Mon Mom crossed the line at 100-1, and everybody had to look at the race card to see what was this horse. Nobody had considered him, so it could happen. But I think it's a very good race. I think the fact that there's more novices and younger horses running in it this year leaves it open to horses that could be still ahead of the handicapper. But you can be ahead of the handicapper and not adapt to these fences, and all of a sudden you have no chance. You know, over those first 6 fences down to Beecher's Brook in that straight line, whether you're in with a shout or not. Also on the same card, you've got a grade one to kick us off. That's the 2 mile novice chase. It looks like it's John Bonds to lose, Banbridge, who won on Thursday, was declared for that, but he's obviously not going to run now. There's a handicap, the second race over 3 miles. Good Time Johnny bids to do the handicap double after winning the pretemps at Cheltenham. The 2.5 mile novices hurdle, you've got Dark Raven against Hermes Allen, who really disappointed for Paul Nicholls in the Ballymore. Throw in Irish Point for Davy Russell and Gordon Elliott, You Wear It Well, who won the Mayor's Novice at Cheltenham. And let's be clear about it for Gavin Cromwell. There is a lot of good racing on tomorrow, aside from the 5:15, the Randocks Grand National. But, you know, if you get a chance to tune in, this is as good as a jump racing as is around.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lots to look forward to. Jane Mangan, thank you very, very much.
Good luck, Jane.
Best luck.
For checking in with us. Alan, you're sticking around because we're going to be chatting soccer. Two Dublin derbies, as I keep alluding to, and a small matter of a bit of a Premier League weekend as well.
Another one for you as well, Shane.
Yeah?
April is the best month for sport. The
April.
Masters, the Grand National, the Crucible.
Oh, yeah.
Hit me with a better month.
I can't. Well, I tell you what, I'll think about it, because we've 2 minutes and 6 seconds and I'll get back to you. RTE 2FM.